Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
If you have your Bibles today, you might want to turn to 1 Kings around chapter 17. The vast majority of the message will be in Kings 17 or 16 or something of that nature. Kings chapter 17, verse 1, 1 Kings 17, 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, one of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Think about this. Elijah the prophet is standing before Ahab, the king of Israel, and is saying, mark my word, as I stand before God, there will be not dew, there will be no rain until I speak the word again. And you can imagine here what's going on, but let's back up. Why is such a measure being meted out upon the nation? Let's go back just briefly, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 33, and we find out a little bit about this guy named Ahab. And it says, "In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." Let's listen to that again. He did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. In other words, he was the evilest king yet. It goes on to say, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal. So one of the things that we find Ahab was doing is he was worshiping a false god. It goes on to say in verse 32, "And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria." So he's not only serving Baal, he's building an altar and a house of Baal for people to come and worship a false god. Verse 33 goes on to say, "Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Basically, what it's saying here, if we were to kind of put it in today's language, Ahab ticked God off. Really got God angry. So no wonder God is now passing judgment on Israel. You know, as the leaders go, so the nation goes. We see that taking place in our own country today. We've seen that taking place in other countries. As the leaders go, so goes the nation. They have good leaders, things go well. They have bad leaders, things don't go well. But during all of this, even in the Old Testament time, and I believe it still applies today, that God takes care of his people. God will take care of his people. Now going back to chapter 17, in verse 4 it says, Elijah's now stood before Ahab and said, there's not going to be any rain, there's not even going to be dew. We all know about droughts and we read about droughts. And right now, for example, California's been going through a drought so bad that the ground was cracking. They were wondering how they were going to get enough water for all the people and talking about water conservation and all that. But for 3 years, there's going to be no rain, not even any dew that is going to moisten the ground. And so now God leads Elijah away from there, and he takes him out by the river, and he says in verse 4, "And thou shalt drink of the river, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." Remember, I said God takes care of his people. Elijah has prophesied this before Ahab. Now God has taken him out into a wilderness place and says, you will drink from the river, and I have commanded the ravens, the birds of the air, to bring you food. And we know as we read on in this chapter that this continued on for a little while, but it says that even then the river dried up. And so again, God speaks in verse chapter 8 and 9, and it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, up and get thee to Zarephath, which is in Zidon, and remain there, and behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Elijah, get up, leave this place, go back into town, and I have commanded someone to sustain thee, to take care of thee. So Elijah gets up and goes, and it says in verse 10, and he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. Now here she is, she's out gathering some firewood, basically, some sticks, something that she can start a fire, that she can cook a meal or fix a meal. So he speaks to her and says, bring me some water, please. And it says then in verse 11, as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, oh, by the way, now I added the by the way part in there. He says, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So while you're at it, not only bring me some water, but bring me some bread to eat. I'm hungry. And I kind of imagine he probably was pretty hungry, you know. He's been traveling and all of this. And she looks around at him in verse 12 and says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but even a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks for to go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Look, I don't know if she knew who Elijah was by name. I don't even know if she knew he was a prophet at the time. But she turns around as he said, bring me some water and bring me something to eat. And she said, look, all I've got is a little bit of oil. I've got a little bit of meal. I'm gathering some firewood. I'm going to make a fire. I'm going to cook a last meal for me and my son. We're going to eat it. And then we are basically going to starve to death. That's what's about to happen. And I imagine thinking about this as you looked around all of Israel during that time of famine, during that time of drought, that a lot of people were starving to death because the crops wouldn't grow because there was no rain. But then in verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. Come, do as thou hast said, and make me a little cake first of all, and bring it to me, and afterward make for thee and thy son. Okay, so you got just a little bit left. Go in there and cook what you're going to cook, but bring me the first part of it here. Bring me the first bites of the cake, you know, that I can have some here. It's not only that just barely enough for the two of you. Now bring me some. And that, and to some people, probably sounds a little cruel. Thinking, she's got nothing. They're going to starve to death after they've eaten this. And he's wanting part of it now. But he goes on to say, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the meal and the barrel shall not be wasted, neither shall the oil and the cruse be diminished unto the time that the Lord send rain upon the earth. Lady, you go do what I've said. You go cook this last meal. And you bring me that portion that I've asked you to bring me. You do that, and until this drought is over, until there's rain again, you will never run out of oil. You will never run out of meal in your barrel. It didn't say that the pot of oil was going to be full and overflowing. It didn't say that the barrel of meal was going to be full and overflowing. But I kind of imagine as each time she reached in and she took a little bit of that meal out, it miraculously reappeared in the barrel again. As she took the oil out, it miraculously reappeared in the cruse again. As she took, God provided the need. And each time she took, God replaced it. Because why? She was obedient to what God had to say. And a lot of us go through times of hardship, and we go through times of trial, and we begin to wonder sometimes, where is the next whatever coming from? Maybe it's the next meal. Maybe it's the next house payment. Maybe it's the next whatever. And we're beginning to wonder, but if we are faithful to God, God will supply our need. He will meet the need that we have in our life. Verse 14 says, in this reading in the complete Jewish Bible, for this is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says, the pot of meal will not get used up, nor will there fail to be oil in the jug until the day Adonai sounds rain down on the land. And I tell you, friends, when we are obedient to God, God will meet our need. He will supply what we have need of. The problem is, too many times today, we've got to be such a spoiled people that we want all these things more than what we have need of. God didn't say He would make us wealthy and live, drive Cadillacs and live in mansions, but He said He would supply our need according to His riches and glory. And if you're living in a home today and you're able to pay your rent, if you've got some food in the cabinets, if you've got an automobile to drive or a way of transportation, God is supplying what you have need of. Oh, mercy, I'm only driving a Honda. Why am I, as a preacher, not driving a Cadillac or a Lincoln Continental or a Rolls Royce as some of the others do? I don't even want one of them. I've not driven a Rolls Royce, but I've driven all the others. And I'll be honest with you, I like the Honda a lot better. There's too many times that we think we're not being blessed of God because we've not got all of this abundance of stuff, more than what we have need of. Sometimes when God blesses with some of this stuff, it goes to our head and we begin to lose sight of how good God is to us. The Bible goes on to tell us, verses 15 and 16, so she went and did as Elijah said, and she did eat, and so did he in her house for a certain time. The barrel of meal wasted not, nor the oil was spent out of the cruse, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of Elijah. As he spake to Elijah, and he spoke to the widow, she did what God spoke to her, and her need was met. She didn't run out of things. It was desperate times. It was desperate measures in many cases. But she was obedient to the voice of God. And I've got news for you today. When you've got hard times, when you've got troubles, when you've got trials going on in your life, if you listen to the voice of God, God will meet your need. God will supply what you have need of. Amen. I remember, and I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again, pastor, the first time we went to Guyana, his young daughter fell off the balcony, and there most of the houses at that time, because the land area was actually below sea level, and there was a sea wall to keep the water out. And so in case of flooding, all the houses were built essentially one story off the ground. And she was out on the balcony, and she leaned over, and she fell onto the concrete below. And they took her to the dock, to the hospital, and they didn't have enough x-ray film to warrant doing an x-ray right then. They said, well, we got to wait and see if she gets worse before we do an x-ray. And they couldn't really do anything for us. And he said to us, here, because we don't have these things, we have to depend upon God. And I think sometimes what's wrong with part of the church today is we don't depend upon God because we're spoiled with all that we have. God is the supplier of our needs. Even those things you're getting that you think you got for yourself, I've got news. God helped you get them. God was there seeing that you got what you've got. Because it could just as easily be taken away from you. You're putting your trust in God, or are you putting your trust in man? And I think we're all guilty, including myself, of sometimes putting our trust more in man than we do in God, because it's just easy to do it. It just comes more natural to do it. But if we put our trust in God and we put our faith in God and we listen to the voice of God, God will take care of us. Well, you say, and some people might say, well, what about Christians that ended up getting martyred? And what about Christians that go through some of these hard times? God has a purpose and God has a reason for everything that takes place in your life. And if you're obedient to God and you're walking in the will of God, God has that plan and God will take care of you. And I've got news for you. If you're martyred for God, the Bible tells us that He's got a special place for you in heaven. Now, quite honestly, I don't want to be a martyr. And I don't really think any of us do. But if that's the path God leads you down, He will still take care of you. He will still take care of you. God is our supplier. He's our need meter. The Bible tells us of a couple of instances in the New Testament. And most of us are familiar with the story, but we don't stop to realize that this story is actually in there twice. There were two separate occasions, and they were slightly different. And of course, we're kind of familiar with what it says here. And let me read this verse to you first, Matthew chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. And it says, "And Jesus, knowing it, and said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye thus among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not perceive, neither remember, the 5 loaves when there were 5,000 men, and how many baskets took ye up? Neither the 7 loaves when there were 4,000 men, and how many baskets took ye up?" He said, okay, I remember the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, you think about that. But there was also another instance of 4 loaves and some fish. Or excuse me, I believe it was 7 loaves and some fish. And it was 4,000 people. This instance happened twice. Jesus didn't feed the multitude just once. The scripture tells us He did it twice. Here, as we read the story in Matthew chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "And they did all eat and were sufficed, and took up all the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." It started out with a little boy who brought his lunch. He was smart enough, or his mama was smart enough, as he went to hear Jesus, to pack him a picnic basket with 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Well, son, you're going to go listen to this prophet that's out there preaching, and you might get hungry, you know, because kind of out there in a desolate place. Maybe I need to pack you a picnic lunch." But a lot of these folks, in fact, the majority of these folks that showed up didn't bring a picnic basket with them. They were out there and they had nothing to eat. And the time came and they were all getting hungry, and the disciples said to Jesus, "What are we going to do about these people?" And Jesus said, "Well, we got any food out there?" Now, this is Ken kind of paraphrasing it here. And they, "Well, we need to find this kid that's got 5 loaves and 2 fish here. But, you know, that's not going to feed 5,000 people, Jesus." Jesus said, "Bring it to me." And you know the story. Jesus blessed it and began to break the bread and began to divide the fish and said, "Start passing it out." And as they passed it out, those 5 loaves and 2 fish began to multiply, and it fed 5,000 people. And the Bible says when they were all done, how many of you go out to eat at a restaurant sometimes and you take home a doggy bag, is what they call it, you know. It's a little styrofoam box, and they put part of your meal in there that's left over that you couldn't eat, and you take it home and you eat it later. Or maybe somebody else eats it later. Maybe even the dog gets to eat it later. I don't know. But you're familiar with that. Well, it says that they had 12 baskets full left over. There was plenty for that young man to take home to mama. And I kind of was surprised, would imagine the surprise she saw when they come trucking in these 12 baskets full of bread and fish. And she only sent out 5 loaves and 2 fish to start with. I really don't know what they did with it. It doesn't really say. So I don't know if they took it to her house or what. But everyone was surprised as to what took place there. And then it talks about the 7 loaves and a few fish. And it says they did all eat when this was done. And after this, there still was 7 baskets full left over. Think about it. Jesus supplied the need. It because, as we read in chapter 14, verse 15 of Matthew, it says, when they were, the disciples came unto him saying, this is a desert place and the time has already passed. Let the multitude depart that they may go into the towns and buy them victuals. Well, the complete Jewish Bible calls this desert place a remote place. In other words, there were no restaurants or grocery stores or quick marts nearby. They were going to have to go a distance into town to get anything to eat. And the disciples are saying, Jesus, what are we going to do? But Jesus said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of things. Jesus meets our needs. As we go on to read in chapter 15, this is where they had the 7 loaves and few fish. Jesus called unto his disciples and said, I have compassion on this multitude, and because they have continued with me already 3 days. They've been out there 3 days. Listen to this. 3 days they've been out there. And he says, I have nothing to eat. I will not let them depart fasting, lest they faint in the way. Let's start passing out the bread and the fish. There's going to be an abundant supply. I'm going to interject something here that's not in my notes, but I listen to some preachers on TV, and they talk about, well, you got to sow this seed faith and send us X number of dollars, and God's going to bless you. I was listening to one guy the other day. His amount was $4,800. You send in $4,800 and God's going to give you a lifetime income. I've got news. Most people who've got enough money to send in $4,800 aren't worrying about whether or not they got a lifetime income. If they've got $4,800 to send in. Jesus, in talking, talked about the widow who gave her mite. And he said she gave all more than the rest of these because she gave all that she had. And God looks down upon us and our situation, our circumstance, and know what we have the ability to do and what he blesses us with to do. And he takes care of us. Some people might disagree with me, might get mad at me, but some of this seed faith doctrine is a bunch of hokey. And I know the guy that came up with it. It's a way to raise money. If we listen to the voice of God, I'll tell you, when I give because God speaks to my heart, or he speaks to my wife's heart, and she comes to me and tells me. That's when we give, when God speaks to our heart. And when God speaks to your heart, and you give according to what God spoke to your heart to give, then God is going to bless you. But I have little confidence that if you listen to some preacher on TV or on radio or wherever, and he says send X number of dollars and God is going to bless you with all this whatever, and you are not hearing the voice of God in that, then you're probably wasting your money. You all know that the worst thing I have a problem with here is taking the offerings. And there's times the church has needs, and I still hesitate to put it out there because I am trusting God to meet the needs here and to speak to people's hearts and that they will be obedient to what God speaks to their heart to do. Jesus knows and cares about our needs. We were on the radio for a number of years, close to 20 years. And, you know, everybody now has to have a mission statement. And some people have asked, well, what's your church's mission statement? Well, I never even thought about it back then, you know. Nobody talked about mission statements. But we opened every broadcast with a particular line. In fact, you will hear part of that if you listen to the CDs or you listen to Messages on Demand as the programs are going out now. And it says, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that he loves you, he cares about you, and he wants to meet the need in your life. And that's what we're here to do today, is to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Communication with God can change things. And when we begin to communicate with God, and what is communication with God? It's prayer is what we call it. And it may be that audible prayer that you pray sometimes in church or at home or wherever it is. Sometimes it may be that silent prayer that you utter in your heart. God hears it. He knows exactly what you had to say. Sometimes we just think prayer and God hears it. Sometimes we don't have a way to voice that prayer. But God knows. Here's what Jesus had to say about communicating with God. He says in John 15:16, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And I know some people read that verse and I think they slightly misinterpret it because they think that anything we ask in Jesus' name that God's going to do it just like that and give it to us. God, in the name of Jesus, give me a Cadillac. I kind of asked that one time, not really exactly that way, but he gave me the Cadillac and I regretted it. He taught me a lesson. It says he may give it to you. That's the key word there. He may give it to you because not only is God looking out for you, he's looking out for you in all kinds of ways, even more than you think, because there are some things if you got, they would be bad for you. They might not be bad for somebody else, but they might be bad for you. I know I've heard people for years now, please pray that God would help me to win the lottery. Well, and I know a lot of people, well, first thing you got to do is buy a ticket, you know, and there's that old joke that goes around about that. But you know what? For the vast majority of people who win the lottery, it turns out to almost be a curse. I know we've watched some stuff on television that they went back to the lives of people that have won the lottery and how miserable some of them ended up being. Some of them ended up being drug addicts. Some of them ended up being drunkards. Some of them ended up bankrupt. I think I only heard one story of a guy that won the money and he used all of his money to help other people. He said, I'm broke now, but I'm perfectly happy. I've done everything I've wanted to do. I've helped people. I've got the business I always wanted to have. I'm working harder than I worked before. But I feel at peace in my heart because I helped other people. But you know what? Most people, when they think about that, oh, I tell you, all kinds of visions come into their mind of what they can do with that money. And most of them don't have any thoughts about how they can help God with it or God's work. There are things that we sometimes want and we think we need that God knows are not good. And sometimes, as I said, he does give us some things we really don't need just to teach us a lesson. The Apostle James, chapter 4, verse 2, reading this from the Complete English Bible, you desire things and don't have them, you kill and are jealous, and you still can't get them, so you fight and quarrel. The reason you don't have is that you don't pray. And then it goes on in verse 3, it says, or you pray and don't receive because you pray with the wrong motive, that of wanting to indulge your own desire. When you pray to God, when you communicate with God, and you have a need, and that need is going to not only help you, but help to bless others, God's going to hear you. He's going to meet that need one way or another. And another thing, he doesn't always answer it the way we're expecting him to answer it. You may have, Lord, I have this need, and you think he doesn't answer it. He's coming and he's done something else that has negated that need in another way. God looks out for his people. He takes care of us. The title of this message is When All Else Fails. When all else fails, and that's the way it is sometimes. When all else fails, that's when we turn to God. Well, there's nothing left. I can't do it on my own. I can't borrow the money at the bank. I can't do this. Well, I guess I'll have to go to God now. Thing is, if we would go to God to start with, we wouldn't go through some of this stuff. Not when all else fails do we turn to God. The thing should be, in the beginning we turn to God. and let God work it out for us. And let God meet that need. And let God bless us. When we do that, let God take care of us. We're going to be okay. No matter what comes our way, we're going to be okay. And Father, today, I thank you that you do love us so much, that you take care of us. You take care of your children. And that you do meet the needs that we have. Father, we are truly a blessed people. Even though sometimes here on this earth we don't have things that other folks have and we don't have some of the niceties, the Bible tells us those things will pass away anyway. They're only for us. But as your child, you are building and for us that will last for eternity, that we can be forever in your blessing. I thank you for that. And Father, if there are any that are listening to this message, Father, that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart right now. And Father, as some share this message with other folks, Father, that you would use them to help reach these other folks with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how you love them, how you care for them, and how you want to meet their need. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.